with some baseball talk as we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. Matt, how goes it this afternoon?
Pretty good. Counting down the days until one of the best days of the year, really.
Absolutely. And I have reached that point, I think, where I've had enough of the either the overly optimistic reports out of spring training or the non-stories that we have to talk about because there's nothing else. I'm ready for some real baseball.
It's the dog days of March, man. I mean, we know that it's not meaningful baseball being played. Like, it's all nice and new when it's the first week of March and it's cool to see baseball again. By now, it's like, all right, we get it already. These are games that don't mean anything. Let's just start playing the real ones now.
Absolutely. And you wrote a great piece on the five dumbest aspects of what's easily the dumbest story of spring training, yeah. Adam LaRoche versus the Chicago White Sox. Can you give us some of the highlights of that?
Oh, I mean, it was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. It was just how much he had a kid around the team. I mean, he'd go on road trips with him. He had his own uniform. He had his own locker. And when Kenny Williams said that, he essentially said, hey, I'm fine with kids being in the clubhouse, but he doesn't need to be here 100% of the time. He shouldn't even be here 50% of the time. And then you go back and look, and you see comments in the past where LaRoche said he would rather his kid be with the team than in school because they're not big on school. Like, you know, if you're training him to be a Major League Baseball player, okay, but what if he's not good enough? Where are his life skills going to be? And then Sale flipped out and was screaming at Kenny Williams. And my single dumbest thing was when Adam Eaton called Drake LaRoche a leader. I mean, it's a 14-year-old kid, and you're going to act like he's a team leader. That is just beyond absurdity. Honestly, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a player say. And I saw some people saying, like, well, maybe he was just trying to make the kids feel better. Well, do a better job of it then, because a 14-year-old is not your team leader. That is ridiculous.
Although maybe he owed them that. Maybe he was whipping them at Call of Duty all the time, and it was part of the deal.
Maybe. I would hope there was some kind of explanation for it, because it was amazing.
All I could think about was the old Seinfeld episode, Hate the Drake. Hate the Drake.
Actually, yeah. That's the thing. I was so caught up in how stupid all of it was that we were talking to it for like 5 days. And let me tell you, it was beautiful for our traffic at the site. Everybody was flocking to that story. But it was like so mind-numbingly stupid, I didn't even get to enjoy the Seinfeld reference. And that never happened.
All right, let's talk about some real baseball as we're a little over a week away from the opener. Let's start with the American League. Who's improved themselves the most and put themselves in a position to get to the postseason?
Red Sox have improved themselves pretty good, between David Price, which they went going into last year, maybe it wouldn't have been such a bad strategy to not worry about having an ace if guys like Masterson would have panned out and Porcello didn't have such a bad start and Joe Kelly didn't get knocked around. But I still think you need that guy. A lot of new school guys wouldn't like hearing this, like total hardcore sabermetrics guys, where you like to think of the players more as robots and not human beings. I think you need that feel in the clubhouse when you're in the middle of a losing streak, when you look around and say, hey, we've got David Price going today. Now we're going to start winning again. I think you need that losing streak stopper. They didn't have that last year. You get Craig Kimbrell at the back of the bullpen to team with Uehara. I know you're worried about his health, but I, at least a few weeks ago, loved the Carson Smith edition as well. They kind of look like, hey, maybe emulate the Royals a little bit and have that 7th, 8th, 9th inning bridge. I think you can expect a bounce back from Hanley, not so much with Pablo Sandoval. But I love the outfield makeup as it is, especially defensively. But, of course, I have to love Mookie Betts. I think the Red Sox are a much, much better ball club. Other than that, I don't think they had to do that much other than just play a lot better. But I think the Mariners kind of got faster, got better defensively. You could expect a bounce back from Felix Hernandez. Robinson Cano should be a lot better than he was in the first half. And they were 87-75 2 years ago. If they get maybe natural progression from Taiwan Walker, full health from James Paxton, I think you could start to think about the Mariners getting into contention too.
All right, how about in the National League? Who set themselves up for a pretty good run?
They were already going to be great, but the Cubs, they won 97 games, but I think there was some luck involved there. It was probably more like an 89-win team that won far too many games and then got hot at the right time in the playoffs. Got a lot of kids who showed they have immense promise. They go out and they supplement that with Jason Hayward. They go out to get John Lackey for a veteran presence in the rotation. They got Ben Zobrist at second base. So then, right before that, as a precursor to that, trade Starlin Castro. bringing back underrated Adam Warren. You guys have probably seen some of him pitching with the Yankees. He could be a swing starter or relief man. So I think the Cubs did an excellent job there. Giants, they needed some help in the rotation behind Baumgartner. Go out and get Samardzija and Cueto. And then they get Denard Span for a leadoff man atop what looks to be a pretty good offense. So Cubs and Giants are the two that stick out to me.
When the hype train leaves on a player, it leaves the station and it goes. It seems like the hype train is going crazy for Kyle Schwarber and Carlos Correa. Who are you more tired of already?
What?
Who are you more tired of? Who's overhyped at this point?
Neither. I love both. I mean, Correa looks like he can be – I know we have to put aside the biases and the stigma around him, but Correa seriously looks like he could be A-Rod. It's just – he has everything already, and he was only 20 last year. Schwarber, probably less so of an all-around superstar, but more so of one of those guys that is a must-watch on every single at-bat because he's liable to hit the ball what seems like 500 feet, like the ball that went up on the scoreboard. I think he's going to be a high-on-base guy, not very helpful defensively, but not terrible, and maybe not as much of a high-average guy, but again, high-on-base because he takes a lot of walks. He already has a great eye. He was a rookie, he already has a great eye, and he could hit 35 to 40 home runs this year, so... Neither one of them for me. Sorry I didn't have a good answer for you.
We're talking with Matt Snyder of CBS Sports here on Downtown. All right, let's look at potential disappointments this season. Who is this year's Seattle Mariners, Boston Red Sox, maybe Cleveland Indians from a year ago that everybody was talking about as a potential division champion likely to lay an egg?
I mean, this feels like a cop-out because I feel like it's mostly the projections that have them there, but the Indians I'm not as enamored with as everybody else, at least the projection system. I saw, I believe it was Pecota, the Baseball Prospectus one, that had the Indians with the best record in the AL and beating the Royals by like 13 games in AL Central. I'm not seeing that at all. They still need to be a lot better offensively. I like their pitching staff. But it's not like you're running out one of those. You remember when the Phillies had four aces? It's not like it's that kind of staff. I mean, it's good, but you know, Kluber, Carrasco, then you get to Salazar as your number three, Trevor Bauer's your four. That's not anything that's going to totally knock me over. So I'm not as in love with the Indians as everybody else. Cardinals, I think a lot of people have a tendency to look at them and just say, oh, the Cardinals are going to be great just because they always are. Or latch on to, hey, last year, look at all those injuries they had and they still won 100 games. Yeah, you can say that, but I thought they overachieved on that front. Going into this year, I look at the rotation. I see an old Adam Wainwright. I'm not worried about his injury last year because it was not his arm, but it's just because he's up there in years. And now Lance Lynn's down with Tommy John surgery. Carlos Martinez had the shoulder thing toward the end of the year. Michael Wacha has shown that he can't really stay healthy. And then Jaime Garcia is never healthy. So Leak, you can probably count on his innings, but he's not really ace caliber. And then I look at the offense, and I'm not in love with that much. Now Johnny Peralta's hurt for a while. Replace him with Ruben Tejada, who can't hit. Piscotty and Grichuk are high upside guys, but Grichuk hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy, and we don't know about Piscotty over a full season. So I don't think the Cardinals are really going to be that good.
It seems like baseball is going back to there's a lot of youth infusion for a lot of teams. Which team do you think has set itself up to be successful over the next stretch of, say, 5 years?
I mean, maybe it's cheating because I just mentioned both of them. Well, you started the ball rolling on this one. And the snowball effect here is it's Astros and Cubs. I mean, if you look at the Astros, it starts with Korea, but I know Altuve has been up for a while, but he's another one of those guys. Lance McCullers in the rotation. You go to the Cubs, and we already saw him in the playoffs between Bryant, Schwarber, those are the big names. But remember, Rizzo was only 25 last year. Jason Hayward is actually one day younger than Anthony Rizzo. And I didn't even bring up Addison Russell yet. It's the sky's the limit with both of these teams as they build around these young cores. And that is who, if you're in the rebuild mode right now and you're the Braves or the Phillies or the Brewers and the Reds, you say, those are the teams who we're trying to model ourselves after.
We asked this of a couple people yesterday. We talked about it on the show. A-Rod has now given us an end of the line for his baseball career. You're a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America. Is A-Rod a Hall of Famer?
I would have to wrestle with his story for a long time because I often said the easiest cutoff for me would be if a guy was suspended with the joint drug program in effect, then I would not vote for him. Otherwise, I would let his number speak for himself. So for me, Bonds, Clemens, you're good. they were Hall of Famers as far as what we saw on the field, and there was no program in place to suspend them. With A-Rod, I almost kind of felt like it was kind of a witch hunt that caught him. I mean, he never tested positive or anything, and I know that doesn't justify it, but the reason I made that rule for myself was so if MLB didn't catch anybody, my assumption was that if you never got caught, then I had to assume you were clean, because what if I am already voting for somebody who did something that just never got caught?
Right.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
With A-Rod, the only reason he got caught was because of some paper trail where they were totally going after him. And I know it's Nelson Cruz and Johnny Peralta, but they're not Hall of Famers. So for me, A-Rod kind of feels different from like Braun and Manny Ramirez. I don't know. I mean, his numbers, obviously he's a Hall of Famer. And I know there are a lot of guys who will say no forever. I would, once it gets to that point, and it'll be a while, it'll be at least 7 years. Once it gets to that point, I'm going to have to think about it for a while.
I hear you. That's a pretty good perspective there. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports. Always great talking with you, Matt. Thanks so much, and we look forward to checking in with you throughout the baseball season.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you much. 5:15 here on Downtown.